All right, a guy we love, and he is part of the show, and he's on every weekend with us. And it's brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, it's a milestone day for us today, so give me $6 million.
Okay, coming right up.
All right. A-Rod, $6 million, hitting number 660. Is it a milestone? If it is, I guess it gets us $6 million if they could market it. If the Yankees say it's not a milestone, it can't be marketed, he doesn't get his $6 million. What do you think?
This is so perfect, Yankees and A-Rod. Always at odds, even if after a really nice moment, you know, they're still haggling over this bonus. And, I'm really not paying too much attention to it. It's just complete nonsense to me. I am fascinated by A-Rod's sort of revival. And he actually seemed pretty genuine last night after talking to Pedro Gomez. He was crying a little bit. And it's not often that you see him in a genuine kind of way, but... as far as the Yankees go, it's just preposterous.
Yeah, Bruce, it's funny you should bring that up, because when I saw that all go down with Pedro Gomez, my initial reaction was some PR stooge set that up. And I feel bad about myself for that, Bruce. I felt like it was a PR stunt.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, A-Rod can go months without, like, telling the truth or speaking frankly. I don't know. Maybe they poured water in his eyes and said, go to it.
Well, I feel bad about myself because it did take away from the moment. And maybe it's the loyalty to Willie Mays, who gave a statement last night advocating it or coming out in defense of A-Rod and acknowledging it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I think Mays has to do that. I mean, he can't say I resent this or anything like that. He's got too much dignity to do that. I think everybody knows that, everybody's got their favorites, but people remember that Mays had at least 50, I'd say way more, home runs taken away by the wind howling in from left field at Candlestick. There's just no question about it. He was a 700 homer guy without a doubt. And the greatest living player and all that. And, you know, he had a gracious response, which is what you'd expect.
Yeah, his birthday coming up May 6th. It'll be this week. I'm sure the Giants will do that. We'll celebrate it tomorrow.
Okay.
Pre and post tomorrow, talk about Willie Mays. So, Bruce, where does A-Rod fit in the hierarchy of the timeline of great baseball players? He's got so much controversy around him, but my goodness, he's going to have 3,000 hits. He's probably going to have close to 700 home runs, 2,000 runs, and all that. Where do you put him?
Well, he's really he's very close to Barry Bonds' company. He's got in unbelievable offensive stats. He was a great defensive player, played a lot of years of very good shortstop. The power, the average. The defense, everything else, and, with the steroid association, too. Yeah. But you can't take away, he hit the homers. You know, they happened. You can't pretend that they didn't happen or that he didn't hit 600. He hit 660 homers in the bigs. And I have a ton of respect for that. I've never really cared for the guy or Bonds, but, I vote for Bonds the first thing I get every year for the Hall of Fame. I'll do the same for A-Rod. These are just some of the greatest players that have ever lived.
No doubt about it, Bruce. Bruce Jenkins here, Marty Leary, Patrick Connor at the Public House. Let's go down I-95 to an event that happened in Baltimore this week. Would love to get your thoughts on the Orioles doing it and with the White Sox in an empty stadium. I know your colleague Ann Killian thought it was a foolish maneuver. Vin Scully came out and said that was the right thing. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, it's hard to judge without being back there and feeling the atmosphere of the city in the days leading up to it. They certainly, made sure that there would be nothing going on in the park. To me, a stronger gesture would have been to play the game and let the thing unfold as it naturally would. But again, that's I find it hard to judge the climate of a very troubled, tense city like Baltimore from here. The thing that I took away from the game. I was talking to my wife about it. It's a two-hour game.
Yeah.
And she said, well, they really didn't want to be out there that much. I mean, they just – it wasn't like they were savoring the attention in the crowd and the atmosphere. And they played it kind of hastily. They played it like in the days when there were no lights, guys had to play fast because next thing you know, it's too dark. Before there were lights in stadiums. It was kind of like that. There was a little bit of a high pace to the game, and – So the conclusion is no more fans. No more fans in any game. Solve the pace of play problem right away.
Attendance zero.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. The DH controversy is raging this week, and I said this in spring training, Pat.
Yeah.
I've said it on the post-game shows. Baseball listens to this show. Larry Bear listens. Mario Alioto. People.
Manfred. The whole thing.
No, I'm not sure he does. But
sure he does.
People listen to the show, and all of a sudden, this National League DH controversy is coming up again. There are a lot of people who say you're not in the sign of the times unless you want the DH in the National League. Bruce, how is this thing going to play out?
Okay.
Well, it's not going to happen. I'm talking to Richard Justice and Tracy Ringles, being some of the guys who are close to the commissioner's office in the leagues. They say there's really no sentiment among the National League owners to overturn and adopt the DH, which to me is a godsend. It has been a great week. John Shea wrote a great piece. Ann Killian and Tim Kawakami trashed it on Comcast. Bruce Bochy came out for traditional rules. And I really think that the National League will stick to the conventional game indefinitely. I sure hope so. It doesn't, you know, when I go to an American League game, I'm not sitting there damning the DH. This is horrible. I covered the A's, you know, a lot of years in the 80s. But I'm very refreshed to go to a National League game and get the feel of real baseball. It's just, I always say this, the simplest way I can explain it is if you go to play in a baseball game, you've got your bat and your glove. I always think of little kids going to a game and somebody telling the kid, well, you can't hit. Okay?
Yeah.
What's that about? You play the game, you hit, you feel. That's what it's about. You know, I don't like watching a butcher at third either. You know, I mean, yeah, there's some things you don't like to see. You don't like to see a guy who can't run get thrown out on a ball he should have beat out. But it's all part of it. It's when I watch a pitcher hit, it tells you a lot about him. Maybe he doesn't like Sandy Koufax. Obviously, doesn't a great athlete who doesn't care about hitting, couldn't care less. He's up there to strike out and get out of there. It's not pleasant, but it tells you something about him. Then you get a guy like Bumgarner who looks like he just stepped out of a forest with an axe up there looking to go like 500 feet.
I want to tell you something. I think he can handle an axe pretty well.
Sure.
Undoubtedly.
I think he really can. Looking at this team, Bruce, the first month of a season, I always say you learn something about your team the first couple of months. I think we've learned something about the Giants the first month. How do you feel about it?
Well, they just are, to me, are very reminiscent of the feel they gave to a game in the good years, in the title years. They're squeaking them out. They're not comfortable. They're not laughers, but they're showing an awful lot of character and smart baseball in the late innings. And you know that's what you need to see. They're doing it with maybe it's the weakest lineup they've had. Certainly without Pence, it's one of the weakest lineups they've had in recent years. But you know they're getting it done. The rotation is really in trouble. I mean, outside of Heston, you know, which it's a good thing Heston showed up when he did. And Bumgarner, there's a lot of question marks, and that's sort of the, you know, that's the anchor of the team. And yet, with all these question marks, in a three-day stretch, they could be in second place. And they're only 4.5 out now. So, I mean, I just think it's refreshing and encouraging for fans to see the team show its character with a lot of the same guys. You know, Panic steps up there last night and wins the game. It's just cool. They're still a very cool team, and I think this race is going to be complicated, and nobody's running away with it, and I think the Giants will be in it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Watching Susak play, how about Brandon Crawford? Brandon Crawford at short.
Oh, well, he's just ridiculous.
He
really
better.
Is. I think outside of Andrelton Simmons, I think he's the best in the National League.
Yeah. Sure.
And, you know, he'll get you a big hit every now and then, too. He's an absolute treasure. I mean, there's nothing like, and all the Giants pitchers will tell you, having that guy out there is beyond, you know, it's just a complete godsend to have a guy that good out there.
And his battery mate there at second base, I know Panica didn't start at second base last night, came in the ninth, but, I mean, this guy's got ice veins, ice water in his veins, huh? Joe Panic doing his thing.
Yeah, just right away, as soon as he got to the team last year, he kind of looked like he belonged. The next thing you know, he hits over 300. He gets some big hits in the postseason. He gets up there thinking, you know what, I'm going to do this. And that's a great quality, especially when the game's on the line like that. And he's... You know, he's got the good mentality. He fits in so well with the team. A great draft pick. Took him a while for him to blossom, but that's kind of the way it is. Normally, you don't jump up to the bigs at 19. Need a little seasoning, and he's just right now.
Yeah, he's got the swing. That's what and the mentality.
Tight, flat, the whole
really
deal.
Good.
Yeah,
boy, he's got that. Boy, looking at the pitching. Well, let me do this, Bruce, before we go to the pitching, because I think you nailed it pretty good. I want to talk about the bullpen a little bit with you. Romo and Trout last night. It was one of those confrontations I know you like to see and write about. But before we do that, we're giving away T-shirts from Johnny LeMaster, the sons of Johnny LeMaster. And the last question I asked was, what state is he from? And I'll let you answer that.
Johnny LeMaster. Yes. He's a southerner. It's either Tennessee or Mississippi, I think.
Close. Right. North of Tennessee.
Where was Happy Chandler from?
Where's that? I can't answer that one.
Kentucky. All right.
I can tell you where Grumpy Chandler's from.
All right. I'll give you the second one because we had winners at this. Yeah. Delfina got it. And the second one was, what did he do in his first major league at bat?
Well, he was a terrible hitter. You wouldn't ask it unless he did something. He probably hit one out.
He hit an inside-the-park home run.
Nice.
Yes, that's right. I do remember that now.
How about that? And off of Don Sutton, believe it or
not.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we're having fun with Johnny LeMaster. Of course, he had Boo on the back.
He was a character, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah,
and he was a first-round pick,
boy.
Bruce. He was a first-round pick of the Giants, and Dave Winfield and Robin Yount were picked ahead of him.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he took a lot of heat from the Giants fans because, you know, he was a total banjo hitter, Kentucky banjo. But he's a very good fielder, and he stuck it out. He had thick skin, and he played a lot of years in the big leagues, and that's really to his credit.
It was fun. It was fun. All right, last thought, Bruce. Romo and Trout last night. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. It was just classic. I mean, you know that the slider is coming pretty much on any count, any time, but there's something about that pitch that doesn't look like a slider until it gets to you. So here's Trout, you know, just a god up there. He knows it's coming, but he still can't get it. And of course, it was a perfect pitch.
He missed it by 2 feet.
It started in the strike zone and then went way out of it. But Trout thought it was coming into the zone. And this happens time after time. Romo has said that, he's, in his humble way, that nobody else throws it quite like I do. I can't explain it. It's hard to teach. I can't really teach anybody it, but I can throw it. And it's just amazing, really, that he can, that one pitch, of course, when he misses with it, it comes right into a guy's wheelhouse, but he has such good control with it. Here he is still getting guys out with it.
Yeah, I thought last night to see him against Trout, because, you know, the game was on the line at that point. You knew the Giants were going to be in big trouble. And, boy, he just said, good morning, good afternoon, good night. And that was the end of Mike Trout. I thought it was pretty good. That was one of the best at-bats of the year, I thought.
I think it was first and third and nobody out, wasn't it?
The game was, you know, really, it was going to get out of control at that point. The Giants eventually made a couple of errors to make it happen. They didn't play great defense last night, but end up getting a 3-2 win. Tim Hudson today. Ken Rosenthal wrote a great column about him, and we had Tim on a little bit a while ago talking about it. Tim Hudson, Bruce, with all the injuries this guy has all over his career and just about everything that could happen to a pitcher, he's still got the stuff. His arm is like rubber.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, all the things that have happened to him, very little to the arm. I mean, this guy's been around forever. Yeah. I mean, you think about him pitching for the A's like ages ago. He just knows how to pitch. He knows how to move the ball around, keep it down, have it constantly sinking, ground balls. Classic, you know, guy who mixes up the speeds, mixes up the locations, and it's usually just out of where a guy wants to hit it. And I see a little bit of Hudson in Heston. They're not the same pitcher.
Good.
But this kid really, really moves the ball around great. I mean, he struck out Trout looking on a fastball that was tailing in last night because it was just not what he expected. He's been throwing a lot of sliders, which he's got a great slider. He's got a tremendous sort of tailing, sinking fastball that moves away from left-hand hitters. And he didn't get rocked in his last inning. It was a bloop single, and McGee could have had a double play on that ball, and he got a ground ball from Joyce, but it went through to tie the game. But I just wonder if Hudson has mentored Heston at all, because he knows how to pitch just like the old man.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a good game right into the seventh inning. It was solid last night.
Very entertaining.
All right, have a good
afternoon. I got to ask Bruce one thought because he's got such a his finger on the pulse of the national sports scene. And everybody's looking to Vegas tonight, a couple of peewees with Floyd and Manny. And then Jose Altuve. Today is all about the little guys, huh, Bruce? How about this guy down in Houston?
I like Altuve in the fight, decision. And I think Mayweather is going to take over at second base for Houston. Be an interesting deal.
Hey, Floyd would take a pay cut to play Major League Baseball, I think.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would advise everybody to read a great piece by Tim Kuhn on ESPN.com, who got some time with Mayweather and his camp. It was very, very interesting and hard to go against Mayweather. I'm not a big fight fan. I like big fights, though, and I think he's gonna prevail.
Very good. Thanks, Bruce.
But we met Pacquiao. Pacquiao took batting practice here.
And he plays basketball, too. He does it all.
And after I saw him, and I had a picture taken
with
this
guy,
I would not want to run into this guy in a dark alley.
No.
Oh, he's such a hero back home. I mean, imagine if he wins this fight. It was just an absolutely titanic achievement.
Who's the favorite in the fight?
Well, Floyd Mayweather is, but you want to talk about brilliant marketing. The marketing of this fight, I mean, it's 7 years too late, and people are going to pay $100 in HD tonight to watch it. I mean, $300 million up for grabs. I mean, outrageous marketing, and it proved they got it right. They did it right, huh, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm paying my $100 tonight. It always amazes me, and you can sit down and watch the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, in your couch for nothing, and you don't even hear about boxing or care about it for like 11 months at a time. But something like this comes along, it's like, oh my God! And it's true, you want it real bad.
Yep. And you talk about the good night with Pacquiao and the dark night with Floyd. I mean, he's so unlikable for so many reasons. He doesn't even know how to spell humility. And I mean, you can't help but want to get involved with the fight tonight. So.
Oh, exactly. I have to laugh when people say, oh, I'm going to boycott the fight because he's a bad guy. Well, he's a terrible guy.
Yep.
You know, maybe he'll get the crap beat out of him. You can enjoy that, but I mean, boxing's full of incredibly shady characters, and it's boxing. You want to see it. I mean, maybe you don't like Barry Bonds, but you want to see it. Yep. You don't boycott it.
No, I grew up with it on the Friday night fights, and I just saw this week Gene Fulmer died this week.
Okay. Oh yeah,
and boy, I love watching this guy fight on Friday night. Sugar Ray Robinson, Carmen Basilio, and you know, his face looked like a cauliflower. You know, by the end of his career, but that's he fought. He fought 150 times or something. You know, that's
did he take a lot of punches?
Every other week. It was Gaspar Ortega and Gene Fulmer. That's what we used to see all the time.
Very good.
Thanks, Bruce.
On, Bruce.
Sure. Talk to you guys.
Good. Talk to you tomorrow.
Marty had no idea you were a boxing historian.
I like boxing.
Yeah, well.